Now, I am joined in studio to talk about something that just scares the bejesus out of me, but I'm hoping now I'm going to be educated by Elaine Burke and my fear will subside. Before we get chatting to Elaine, just take a listen to this.
I'd like to open a new project file, index as Mark 2.
Shall I store this on the Stark Industries central database?
I don't know who to trust right now. Till further notice, why don't we just keep everything on my private server?
Working on a secret project, are we, sir?
So that was the sound of Iron Man Tony Stark's AI butler Jarvis. And next month, Google are bringing out their very own AI assistant. So basically in 2025, it'll be able to book your taxis, your flights, your holidays, and pay for it with your money. So Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast is here with me now to talk all about Google Jarvis. How are you, Elaine?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastically scared. Like, we've heard the film version there. What is the Google version of Jarvis? Like, what exactly is this going to be?
Yeah, so the film is kind of where the inspiration for the name, I presume, came from. So they've called this Project Jarvis. And what we know about it is actually still meant to be under wraps. So these are from reporters who've uncovered some information about this project that's in the works at Google. The thinking is that they're going to make a formal announcement about it sometime in December, maybe early December, about maybe bringing it out next year. It may not still be called Jarvis then. Sometimes they'll have a project name that isn't actually the brand name. But I'd say the Jarvis name does come from this idea of Tony Stark's basically computerized assistant that he speaks to in his natural normal language. It responds to him in natural normal language and can perform tasks for him. You can see when he's trying to build something or pull something together, he's working with Jarvis. Jarvis is helping him and maybe doing some research and providing him some inputs that way. And this is the film and sci-fi version of what has been envisaged by a long time by researchers, this idea of AI agents. And it's essentially computer programs that can probably like interact with you with natural language. So we've seen that with chatbots, where chatbots can respond to us talking to them in our language rather than in computer code. And even with voice recognition, we've seen how systems can respond to voice commands and voice controls. And making that more actionable, so making it so that those tools that can communicate with you in that way can actually perform tasks. And they may be limited tasks. They may be things like, can you just check out if there's a restaurant in Dublin that I can get 8 people in on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and I know it's last minute. I could spend a few hours looking that up myself, but what if I could ask a program to do that for me? That might be kind of handy and
so
time saving.
Is that program what we refer to now as an agent?
An agent, yeah. So this is something that's becoming really popular among a lot of AI players. So not just Google, but the likes of OpenAI, who people will have heard of. They're the creators of ChatGPT. They're looking at releasing agents in 2025. Salesforce, which is like a business platform that assists salespeople, they've already started playing around with agents to assist salespeople in many ways, and even actually assist customers in many ways as agents.
So is an agent the next step of ChatGPT?
Yeah, so it's kind of the next step for AI, and it seems like an important step for the businesses that are invested in AI, because it's something that's actually finding maybe a problem to solve with these systems. Because ChatGPT is a bit fun, and like image generation engines, we can toy around with them, but in terms of practical uses of them, they're not really proven out to be a good revenue generator at the moment. Whereas if you can
create... But it can't do things, like I can't tell, can you tell ChatGPT to book you a restaurant?
No, not yet. And a problem there as well is interoperability. So you're working with ChatGPT, and yes, it can scan its data to give you information on, say, something that you're asking it about, but it's not actively going onto websites and bringing you back information, or even clicking buttons on that website, filling in details on that website and performing tasks in that way. So this is more kind of task-oriented AI, and it's something that the businesses want to shift towards, and it's something that the science has been trying to move towards for quite some time.
Like, I think when I think of AI, I think, I would have liked it to do things for me, like complete tasks, like do my ironing or do my washing for me. But like, it can do things that are beneficial. Like, I was reading that, for example, the people who are still raging that they missed out on Oasis tickets.
Yeah, like imagine like that process of having to get online, you know, the ticket launches at 9 a.m. You're online at like 8:45 just trying to get everything ready. You've probably logged in and set up your account and filled in all your details so that it's faster processing if you do get through the queue. And that sitting in the queue part, that refreshing page element of it, that's all really frustrating and stressful for people. So if you could get an AI agent to do that for you instead, that might be the way it happens. And I was speaking to a researcher out of the Adapt Research Centre here in Ireland about this a while ago on my own podcast. We were talking about dark patterns, actually. It was a different kind of episode. But Professor Owen Conlon was the first researcher to tell me about AI agents. And he said it to me as, imagine when you're trying to renew your car insurance and what you normally do is you do all the research of all the providers and none of them are upfront about pricing. So you normally have to fill out a load of forms to find out what kind of price you would get for your car insurance. And you want to compare that to the price you get from your current provider. And that can all take you half a day, a full day of research and a full day of doing all that online. But an agent, if you gave it all your information, you know, this is how long I've had my car, this is my occupation, this is the kind of price range I'm looking for, it could do all that research for you and just provide you with like a chart that compares all the prices for you.
Yeah, see, that sounds amazing. Yeah. But that you've mentioned there what I was going to ask, a price range. Like if I left it up to AI to get into that Oasis queue for me, my fear would be by the time the AI gets to the top of the queue, if they've access to my wallet on my phone or whatever, that they'll go,
you can spend
a
few grand on those tickets.
Like, how do you stop that happening?
Yeah, so obviously the challenge there is getting an AI that can work around dynamic pricing. And what you see here is nearly like a battle of technologies, because dynamic pricing is something that's been introduced using technology, I would say, against consumers in a way, in a way that's actually kind of not great as a consumer. And there's this also envisaged future where you have AI agents actually operating with each other. So maybe the insurance company that my AI agent is trying to communicate with to get prices from also has an AI agent communicating with my agent. So my people will talk to your people becomes a new kind of format here.
It has a whole new meaning.
What you don't want is then that those systems are designed to maybe, oh, well, we see this person sent an agent out to work with us. Maybe we'll design our agent to push them towards a certain product instead of the best price. Because when you get technology and systematic processes like this, you can always game a system, essentially. And sometimes those systems can be in contravention with each other, in contention with each other. And it's like the customer is trying to get the best price, the best value deal. The company is trying to get the best value for them and the best price that they want you to pay. So we could actually see this kind of like panning out in a detrimental way for consumers if it goes down that route.
I mean, even if you think of in terms of consumers, like what you're talking about, would the ease of this make it more likely for you to say purchase things without thinking it through properly?
I love that question, actually, because there's loads of things that happen now in terms of online shopping and e-commerce that makes it easy for you to buy things. And making it easy for you to buy things isn't necessarily good for you.
Nope.
Not good for your wallet or your bank account. It's actually good for the provider and
of course,
person who's trying to sell you things. So things like the fact that you can save your credit card information, set up an account so that you've got one click buying. What that actually does is creates a hyper consumer space where people don't think too much about purchases and they just buy. And
not
again,
good.
That's all to the advantage of the seller and not always to your advantage as a consumer. You're probably not thinking your purchases through all the time.
You're 100% not thinking your purchases through.
And
that's
always advise that people don't do that, especially if you're trying to be a bit more conscious of your spending. If you're finding your spending's a bit out of control, create friction in the spending process and you'll actually double think that purchase. I've had that sometimes where I've gone through the process and I get to the point where I actually have to fill out my credit card details and I realise how long it's taken me and I realise I actually don't need three new jackets at all. Maybe I just need one.
Then there's that autofill button.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
And we get this all the time. Like, this is what I'm saying about systems are designed to try and make us buy. And even say, if you imagine like booking flights, there's so many steps in that process and there doesn't need to be that many steps and they introduce extra steps in that process to try and sell you more things at every stage. It's never that one page where I can untick all of the things that I don't want to add on to the cost price.
No, it's insurance, it's cars.
Yeah, and there are different stages of the process. There is, if you were doing this in what's called a user-centered design process where you are designing this system around the user and what they want to achieve, you wouldn't add in all those steps.
No, of course you wouldn't.
You'd make it so that I can actually get from A to B of purchasing my ticket really, really quickly. But it's not designed with you in mind. It's designed with selling in mind.
Of course
it is. It's designed to actually maybe trick you in a way to buying things that you don't need.
It's going to go live in December. So, I mean, can we all have a go of it, or is there going to be test runs done first?
Yeah, so I would imagine that this will be a limited release.
Okay.
Probably a few lucky users might get early access. Maybe some developer access will be opened up early. That's what you tend to see with tech releases, but especially with AI tech releases, because okay. especially if they've got generative AI plugged into it, and generative AI is the likes of your ChatGPTs, which can like conjure up new responses every time to different queries. Because they can be different every time and they can respond differently depending on the user and depending on the interaction, it's very hard to test that comprehensively and know how reliable it is and how consistent it's going to be. So they have to kind of do slow release with AI products like that, because you're trying to see, okay, if we release it to maybe like 100 users to begin with, a few trusted early adopters, and we see what feedback we get from them, we can start to refine it and actually make it a better system, make it more reliable, make it more consistent. Because what you don't want is, like you said, releasing something like this willy-nilly to people and it ends up, you know, costing them a fortune because it's you know, misbehaved in the task, or it may have even leaked their data by accident. What if it gets fooled by a scammer online? So they also need to be smart, these technologies. They need to be able to be smart like we are.
Be smart, Elaine. It's terrifying me. Last question. It's just Google, isn't it? Or are they just miles ahead of everyone? Or
actually, no. So, like I said, most of the AI developers right now are moving into this agent element. Now, what Google might have as an advantage is it looks like this might come out as a Chrome plugin. So they're talking about it like having the ability to control your computer. I reckon my theory is it's going to be a Chrome plugin that can control your web browser. And that through your web browser, you can do a lot of those things. You can make reservations. You can buy things through your web browser. You can research things through your web browser. So it might not need to interact with other programs on your computer. That would be probably a bit more advanced for it. So they have an advantage in that Chrome is the most popular web browser by a huge degree. So if this becomes as a Chrome plugin and becomes common use, they could take the lead on this. But OpenAI is working on agents looking to be released next year. Anthropic, which is another AI company, they are working on agents. And then other companies that provide applications like Salesforce, they're also looking at creating agents. Microsoft is looking at creating agents.
So they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be, you're going to hear that term a lot in the next couple of months.
It's going to be the Oxford Dictionary word of the year in 2025. Yeah. Elaine, thank you so much for that. It's Google Jarvis, explained by Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast. I guess I need to ask, would you trust a computer with your wallet? That's the very basic question. I don't know. We'll be right back after this. 2FM.